This is the Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We've got a new episode every week. This is our 2016 summer movie wrap-up, where we're going to talk about what our favorite movies and performances were, what sucked, and what do we want more of, what franchises should be put down, and a whole lot more. Be sure to get the Hole in the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on iTunes, where reviews are appreciated. Your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Stitcher. We're all over the place. Please share the show on your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever you use. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scott Clark.
What is going on, Aaron? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
I know, it's been ages. And Justin McCumber?
Not ages enough.
Wow. Did you hear that? Did you hear that laugh from Scott? I was like, that's funny.
Screw you, yeah, Justin.
He shouldn't be laughing too hard. John kicked ass.
Yeah, he did.
Boy.
Boy. Did a good job.
Yeah, he was bucking for your job, man. Did you hear those DVDs? He was just rambling them out. Bam, bam, bam. Boy, I would cut them. That's what I'd
watch
do.
Watch it, John. Watch it, John. Careful, careful.
Scott will cut a bitch.
Is Scott Clark going to have to cut a bitch? Or choke a bitch?
Either way, whatever works. Whatever you feel like doing. This is going to be the episode where we talk about summer movies and kind of what we love and what we didn't love. And I did mention that, but I do want to say this covers, because the way movies have changed, we are going to do theatrical as well as video on demand or Netflix or whatever went straight to whatever initially aired between May 1st and August 31st. Everybody clear on that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I do want to ask you guys before we get into all this stuff. Are you were you anticipating this summer going into it? Like, you thought it was going to be a great summer?
Well, you kind of always hope it's going to be a great summer, right? I mean, it's just, it's the time for blockbuster movies. So, I mean, you always go in hopeful. It's not like you're going to say, man, this summer's going to suck, right?
Well, I mean, The Crop didn't really excite me going into it as much as previous years. And mm-hmm. I think... You know, I kind of got a little bit of that. What about you, Justin? Were you excited, amped up for the summer?
I was more hopeful than I ended up coming out the other side of summer feeling. I mean, because if you look at last summer, we had Jurassic World, Age of Ultron, Mission Impossible, Ant-Man, Straight Outta Compton, Fury Road, Trainwreck, Tomorrowland, Genesis, Magic Mike, Sinister, and Insidious. And that's just the top. There was still plenty more that was good. This summer we had what? Civil War, mm-hmm. X-Men Apocalypse, Star Trek Beyond, Suicide Squad. I'm going to include Ghostbusters. Others may not. Finding Dory and the Nice Guys. I mean, just the sheer number of blockbusters last year to this year is like double. Mm-hmm. This was a really disappointing summer when I look back on it. And, you know, looking at it from the front side, it seemed like it would be more fun between Civil War and Suicide Squad and Star Trek. I really felt like this was going to be a fun summer. And because remember last summer we were constantly feeling like, oh my God, every week there's something to watch. Yep. It's overwhelming. Well, you know what? We bitched last year. Now this year we got nothing. I mean, not nothing, but it certainly wasn't like last year where every single week there was something interesting and cool to watch. It's just,
we just can't be happy, can we? Mm-mm.
We can't. We're you know, first world problems.
Yeah. Our entertainment's not good enough. Do you think this is the weakest summer in years? Like a lot of people are saying that.
I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I was so hopeful at the beginning because things kicked off so well. Like, Justin mentioned Civil War, and that was like the first real big one. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. This is going to be awesome, because that movie was great. But I feel like as the summer went on, my favorites from the year turned out to be the ones that were smaller, non-blockbuster titles. You know, the ones that were surprises, the smaller movies. I feel like the ones that I was most hyped for, I felt kind of let down when I actually finally got to see them. Maybe it's because I was too hyped for them or something.
No, I'm right there with you, man. I got the exact same feeling, and it was just a weak overall really weak summer.
Yep.
So what do you think was lacking?
For me, it was just a sense of wonder. I mean, every week there was something coming out, like I said, that was really cool looking, but that I hadn't, you know, investigated up to the nth degree so I knew what was coming. This year, there's just been such a lack of that that it's almost wasn't even worth looking into. And I got to say, having Batman versus Superman come up at the beginning of the year, close to summer, but not technically in summer, it was almost like I got the perfect summer movie before the summer even got started.
For you, you just had to find a way to mention that one, right?
Was that- I love that film. I think it's an amazingly well done film.
Oh, we know.
It wasn't a summer movie.
We know because you keep mentioning it every chance you get. We're like, you know what? I really like Hell or High Water. Justin's like, you know what? Batman versus Superman's like Hell or High Water. It is. It's just like it. I mean, Batman's a cowboy, and I get it. What do you think was lacking, Scott?
Well, like you said, the spectacle and wonder. I feel like the benchmark we always use for that is, oh my goodness, Gypsy Danger,
Pacific Rim,
Pacific Rim. Thank you, because but you know that just that spectacle, the wonder, the just the huge thing that's happening that you can't that you have to see on the screen. I feel like we didn't have that, but. But to also tie it into Pacific Rim, there didn't seem to be a lot of like original big blockbusters. Everything seemed to be a sequel or comic book. I mean, I know it's like Suicide Squad was technically original, but you know, it's still like a continuation of an already existing universe.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something fresh, something new that I hadn't seen before that really made me sit back and just get blown away. And I feel like I didn't have it this summer.
I feel like wow moments are what we're really missing. I didn't get a whole lot of wow moments, memorable moments. Past years, when I was preparing for this, past years when we've done these movie awards, I've really never had to look anything up because I just knew what the answers were right off the top of my head. Because I'm like, man, that stood out. This year.
Yeah, I poured over the list this year.
Yeah, I had to look through it several times. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if anything really stuck out the way that it usually did. It's mm-hmm. just kind of disappointing. What were the best, your best and worst summer movie experiences this year, I guess?
For me, my best experience, hands down, was when I got to see the BFG. And that doesn't necessarily have to do with the quality of the film as much as it was me getting to go to the theater with a bunch of my students and other students from my school. That was just like might be my favorite movie theater experience ever. Much less for the summer. It was just so much fun, and I can't wait to do it every summer. So I don't know, that may not have been the answer you were looking for in terms of the actual film.
Experience, whatever it was.
It was just so great. It just was so much fun, and I just warmed my heart to such a degree, and I can't wait to do it again.
What's your worst?
As far as worst, it probably was when I went to see, I went to see Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nothing to do with the movie itself, but I even posted on Facebook after I got out of the movie. There was a dude sitting on the other side of my brother that forgot to bathe that day.
Oh, yeah. You told us that one.
And it just, I mean, he was two people over and I could smell him. My brother was so grossed out that he was literally leaning in to me like we were on a date. And the guy just kept like belching and blowing it out through his mouth all the way to the movie. And it was so gross. And I kind of wonder,
like Chet after he turned into that monster.
Right. And I kind of have to believe that had something to do with my review score on the movie, because if you remember, I wasn't that high on it.
Right.
But then I actually went to see it a second time at the drive-in with Aaron and some other friends and a couple listeners. And I enjoyed it so much better that second time. I actually kind of wanted to go back and give it a higher score. I thought it was a much better film. So I truly believe that experience kind of ruined that movie for me.
Ooh, well, I mean, that can do it. Absolutely.
Yep.
I can't believe y'all didn't say something.
You know me, man. I'm non-confrontational.
I would have. You should have went and bought one of those little fans and then came back and then just blown it back at him. You know what I'm saying? Just turn that thing on, just crank it on through the whole movie. And he's like, what are you doing?
No. Passive aggressive to the nth degree.
Exactly. Oh.
I just don't understand how you can go out in public and sit next to someone and just not know that you stink. I just,
Yeah.
He probably knew and he just didn't care because nobody's got the huevos to say something.
Mm-hmm. You should have said, hey, ass smell. Let's move it on up. Let's go. A couple chairs over. Let's do this.
When we walked out, my brother said he was really close to saying something, but he was worried. He knows that I get uncomfortable in that, and I think he was worried about making me uncomfortable by saying something. He wouldn't have had a problem if I hadn't been there, I think. But
I would have said something. Justin would have
said something.
Yeah, Justin would have said. He would have
said a couple somethings.
Justin, what about you? Best and worst movie experiences?
Probably the best was seeing Suicide Squad with a theater filled to the rafters with fans who were all ready and pumped to see this movie. And so, you know, when you're with a bunch of like-minded people who are all excited to see a movie, it's such a better experience than when you're with people who are just either they don't care or they're like, this movie has to prove to me why I should like it.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a bunch of people together, we're all ready to have a good time. And that was great. But for me, the worst, it had nothing to do with the film, but it was entirely about the shit that went on around it. And that's with Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, there could be sociological papers written about this movie. You know, why did it fail? Is it the film? Was it the controversy? Was there even really a controversy? It's ridiculous that a movie got turned into such a hot button issue when it really should have just been a movie. And all the argument about, you know, female lead characters and rebooting of films being its own individual discussion. I'm not going to lay blame at any one particular group's feet at why this movie failed, but it did fail, and I find that really unfortunate because I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was looking forward to seeing what more they were going to do with this franchise, and now I know nothing.
Yeah.
They're not going to do jack.
It's pretty much done. And honestly, I think after everything that happened with it, if you were the people involved, would you even want to do it again? I mean, even if it was a huge hit, I don't even know if they'd want to do it again. I really don't.
If I was like Melissa McCarthy or one of them, I would only want to do it to prove certain people wrong. But is that the real reason to do a movie? Mm-hmm. No.
Probably not. I think they'd rather just move on and do their own thing and go back to what they do best.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. My best was I went to Purge election year. I was on vacation. I went with a bunch of friends that I actually met through this very podcast. I thought that was a lot of fun, and it was a big group, so it was pretty cool. Worst was probably I went to The Secret Life of Pets, and I liked the movie. The movie's great, but it wasn't even because of kids, but there was some tramp that kept using her phone as like a neon Facebook beacon and, you know, signaling ships to the cinema or whatever the hell she was doing, and it just was a huge distraction. And it was a really fun movie, and I was trying to enjoy it. And it even distracted the kids. Like, the kids were like, Mom, can she put their phone down? You know, da-da-da-da-da. And this woman just did not care. Didn't care.
What do they call that on ships when they're signaling each other with flags or those lights? Is it like semaphore or something?
I'm pretty sure they call it the bitch in the cinema. I don't know what the what the nautical term is, but that's what I'm calling it. Okay. So franchises, we had a lot of franchises, and a lot of these didn't work, and a lot of them were good, and a lot of them were just really good, but nothing really great. I don't think. Maybe Captain America. So what franchise was born for you this year? And also, which one needs to either die or go through a huge overhaul?
Suicide Squad is what's born for me. I loved, you know, bringing out the bad guys to be the heroes. Everything about this movie captivated me, and I don't mean that in some hoity-toity way. It's just a fantastic film, a lot of fun. And luckily, it's finding the success that seemed to elude Ghostbusters. But the franchise that either needs to get overhauled or just die out completely is X-Men. Because at this point, it's just, who's the big bad of the week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no real exploration of who the X-Men are. And, you know, that's something that I appreciate from both Marvel and DC, is that their films aren't just about fighting a big bad. It's also about who are we as heroes? You know, what does it mean to be a hero in this place, in this time? But the X-Men don't really do that. It's just, okay, what new X-Man are we going to pop into this film and who are they going to fight? And that's really the beginning and end of it. Mm-hmm. X-Men got its really a lot of its fame because it was a comic book about something. And it was a comic book that drew in people who felt like they were the outcasts or they were the ones who weren't understood. And a lot of conversation was started because of that. Why did that not translate really over into the movies other than just very surface level conversation and a couple of the movies? It lost a lot of its soul in its transition to the big silver screen.
And I think really only X-Men 2 maybe was really the only one that really addressed that very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And
I agree.
You didn't think First Class did that?
I don't know. To me, that was more of almost like a CIA movie than anything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think it did a very good job with societal woes and what it's like to be different, and which is really what the X-Men's about, or a big portion of it. And yeah, that's why Bryan Singer needs to go away. And I'm just gonna jump springboard off Justin, because that was my goodbye. Either get rid of it or overhaul it and get somebody new behind it. Bryan Singer, you have done great. It's time to move on, man. It really is. Mm-hmm. And it's not the actor's fault.
I'm kind of coming to agree with you.
Really? I never thought
that. Yeah, he's done almost all of them, but a couple. And I'm feeling like this is a lackluster franchise. He's the common denominator. And as much as I respect him as a filmmaker, I don't think he's bringing anything to the table.
Yeah, I will tell you, I recently rewatched X-Men 3. Just for shits and giggles. I enjoy that more than I enjoyed Apocalypse.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's a better movie. I think Apocalypse probably, will stand a better test of time. But, man, in terms of enjoyment.
Well, it had more Hugh Jackman in it.
Yeah, that probably helped, too. Yeah, that didn't hurt. But, no, it's just it just wasn't going anywhere. I mean, at least X-Men 3, I felt like it was going somewhere, even if I didn't like where it was going. Apocalypse mm-hmm. just felt like it was meandering so much. And like he didn't have anything he's done saying things. So bring in someone that can say something different or say something mm-hmm. unique or just be a little bit more original. And the franchise that was born for me was Central Intelligence. I was
thoroughly, really?
Yeah, I was really expecting a pretty bland by the numbers kind of movie with just a lot of star power. And I really enjoyed it. And when those two, when The Rock and Kevin Hart start working together as a team, man, I was all behind them. I'm like, I want more of these movies, man. I haven't had a good buddy cop series in probably since Rush Hour 2 or something like that. I mean, it's really, there aren't many of them that do it well, and those two really play off each other. I want more of those.
I was just going to say, they should call Kevin Hart the Pebble when he stars next to The Rock.
That's awesome. I'm totally with you guys on X-Men Apocalypse, or the X-Men franchise needing an overhaul. I would add also that one of the bigger disappointments for me this summer was Independence Day. That franchise has such potential because the first one was so much fun. And I kind of hope that they still give that another shot a little, like, deep down. I know it probably is a horrible idea and will probably never happen, but they could do so much with that. And I wish they would. But as far as ones that were born for me, surprising as it sounds, Civil War was my kind of comic book movie. And you guys know, you've heard me say on the show before that I get a little burnout on comic book movies a mm-hmm. little bit because we just get so many of them. But
yeah,
there was something about that one.
You often say, I'm not really a comic book fan yet.
But
you
see every single one.
You see every damn one of them. Yeah.
Right. But that one was so fun because Civil War was a property I didn't even know existed in the comic book world up until that point. And it was just such an awesome idea and so many things going on and so many fun surprises. It brought me back into the fold of, all right, yeah, I'm actually a fan of comic book movies and I'm going to continue to see each and every one of them. So,
okay. Hey, we finally got him, Justin. Did you see that? He's hooked.
Yep. Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
About time. Is there anything specific you really regret not getting a chance to see?
Two big ones. Me Before You, the romantic
film. It's really good.
I plan on seeing that as soon as I can on disc or Redbox, whatever. And Warcraft. Surprisingly, I did not see Warcraft. Movie based on a video game seems like right up my alley, but Warcraft
I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm. I've never played, so I didn't have a whole lot of connection to it. But from what Aaron said in his review of it, it's something I should have checked out, and I kind of regret not doing so.
I mean, don't you have a gaming podcast somewhere?
I do, but I mean, I feel weird talking about a game I've never played before. I'm so scared to death of that game.
Well, would you not watch a movie because you hadn't read the book?
Yeah.
No. No.
There you go.
There you go.
But I also there was also a lot of negativity surrounding that movie, and people saying it wasn't very good. And if I'd heard more positive things about it outside, I mean, Aaron obviously touted it, and I respect his opinion, so I probably should have just done it anyway.
When did that start? Is that new? I don't recall that ever happening, but thanks.
I should have listened to you, but I'll check it out when it's on disc.
What about you, Justin? Anything specific you wish you would have caught?
I wish I'd have caught Finding Dory. I mean, not that it needed my money at the box office, considering how much money it's pulled in. But I love Pixar, and I just don't make enough of an effort to go to the theaters to watch the animated films. I'm too quick to just let them come to me on video on demand later. So if I had to pick one, I really wish Finding Dory had somehow made its way onto my schedule.
All right. I'm going to – there's two big ones. The Infiltrator is one where Bryan Cranston's kind of like a DEA agent or something. He goes undercover with a drug lord. I really wanted to see that, and I didn't get a chance to. And then there's a movie called The Lobster, which was Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz. It's a real independent movie and weird. And I got to explain the setup because I couldn't do it justice. It's in a dystopian future. Single people, according to the laws of the city, are taken to this hotel where they are obliged to find a romantic partner in 45 days or they are transformed into beasts and sent off into the woods. It's one of those, what the hell? What the ass? That I have to see it just to understand what the hell that movie is.
Did you say what the ass?
What the ass? Yeah, it's it's high on my radar, and I don't know why. I think it's more because I can't understand it that I have to see it. So there you go. And nobody seems to care. You're like, yeah, that's cool, Aaron.
It looks like a really interesting movie, but it's one of those types of films that I have to be in a very particular mood, frame of mind to see it. And I don't find myself in that mood often, but I just can't. That's not a movie I could just pop in and watch at a moment's notice. I have to kind of like be ready for it because it looks like one of those films that, you know, it's surface level, but then there's all the stuff going on behind that you've really got to kind of pay attention.
Do you worry with a movie like that it's going to teeter on pretentious?
A little bit, not too much. I mean, I have a hard time putting pretentious movie and Colin Farrell together, you know, in the same category.
Yeah.
What was that movie called? The Swiss Army Boy?
Yes.
Was that his name?
Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man. I really wish I'd have seen that in theaters too. Now that I think about weird kind of independent films, I saw a trailer for that. And at the end of it, I was even more, what the F? than I was at the beginning of it, because that looks straight up cray cray.
Yeah, that's where he's Paul Dano's dragging around Harry Potter as a corpse, right?
Yeah, he's dead the entire film, yet because Paul Dano's character is going kind of crazy, Daniel Radcliffe kind of gains some kind of, you know, life through that. It looks weird as heck, but also kitschy and fun.
Why didn't they call that Weekend at Harry's?
I don't know.
Seems like such a missed opportunity.
I just love the idea of a farting jet ski, okay, which is basically what he is.
Oh, God. Now that's on my list, too. Now I have to see it. I think that one's on video on demand, so you could still probably check that one out.
No, I wasn't sure if it was or not. I hadn't seen it.
I think it is, but we'll find out before the show's over, probably. The summer box office, these are the top 10 movies as at the time of this recording, which is a few days left. But we kind of want to go over what those top movies are. Number one, Finding Dory. Now, the numbers will fluctuate, but it's not going to change the placing very much. $478 million domestic.
Damn.
That's a lot of money. It did all right. Did all right.
That's a lot of fishies, you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of fish, you know what I'm saying? Captain America Civil War, $407 million. Damn, that's pretty big. The Secret Life of Pets, welcome to the franchise, a new franchise, by the way. There's going to be a lot of those.
Yep.
$349 million. Holy cow. Suicide Squad is currently at $270 at the time of this recording. It'll be at about $280 or $290 by the time you hear this, and it'll hit $300 before the end of the year. So it did well. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, it's already over half a billion worldwide.
And let me ask you, because, you know, these are still doing Boffo numbers, but they're not doing, you know, Captain America numbers the way people see it. They're nothing to scoff at, though. I mean, the Batman versus Superman did like 330. This is going to do a little over 300 million. That's not bad domestic. And I think they're all going to be 600, 700, 800 million overseas. What's the problem? Justin, I'm asking you because I know you're a huge fan.
I think we have come to misunderstand. We have come to expect certain films to make huge, 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 huge numbers because the past several years they kind of have been. And so for a film to still make huge numbers, but not quite that much, is now seen as, oh, you lost, mm-hmm. or you're not as good. And we have lost our ability to really comprehend what does 500 million mean?
Yep.
The movie's production was 175 million. Take 500 million. That's making quite a bit of cabbage. But we now no longer really kind of get that anymore. If it doesn't make a billion, it doesn't matter. And that's ridiculous.
Do you think that maybe, and this is like a completely different side note of it, but do you think maybe the weather this summer had something to do with it too? Because we had a really good summer weather-wise. It wasn't overly hot. We had a lot of nice days, at least in our area.
Listeners, Scott is a sadist.
Yeah.
And he loves this heat. The rest of us, we're sweltering.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yes. Please continue before we say hell no.
No, I mean, most of the time people go see movies at night and at night, even when it's warm, I understand. I like the heat a lot better than you guys. Screw the cold. But I think a lot of people would just rather be outside when it's nice out. It wasn't, at least in our neck of the woods, we didn't hit any triple digits this year. We didn't have any like heat warnings or anything like that. So people were like, yeah, let's get outside and enjoy this weather and do some things outside.
I don't think that only because we've had plenty of good summers before and it hasn't hindered. I really think it's just the quality of movies. I mean, there were so many. Yeah, that was good. I mean, I saw a lot of good movies. I didn't see a Fury Road. I didn't see Jurassic World. I didn't see stuff where I was like, man, that was great. You know, there just weren't enough of those. And that's really what fuels word of mouth. So people probably, hey, if you're not going to have great movies, I'm going to go outside. That might be the case. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But people like Justin and I, we'd rather be in the air conditioning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause we did hit triple digits for days on end down here.
Justin's like, I'll see 8 movies. If it gets me out of this damn heat, I'm done. I'm done.
Justin, if you want me to come move down there, all I got to do is ask. You don't have to like just, you know, tease me.
Is
with
your presence, is you being down here going to cool me off? You're actually able to suck in ambient heat.
No, I think if I come down there, it'll heat things up for you.
Oh, I'm telling you, baby.
What just happened? I don't know. Let's finish the top 10. My God. All right. X-Men Apocalypse did 155 million, which is way down from Days of Future Past. It's like, I think that was like 200 and something million. So that's down quite a bit. Star Trek Beyond, 148 million, also down from 220 million from the previous movie. Jason Bourne, 144 million, did better overseas. Central Intelligence, number 8, was 127 million, which is actually pretty good. It was a smaller movie. The Legend of Tarzan actually started really slow, but held on quite a bit. It did 125 million. Which, it really opened small and it just held on.
I should have put that one in my regret I didn't see it because I keep hearing that was actually really good.
It was actually pretty good, yeah. And number 10 was Ghostbusters with 124 million. So, I mean, it did okay. It just didn't do enough to justify a sequel.
Is that sad that top 10 isn't good enough?
Well, unfortunately, with top 10, usually your foreign money is going to really help boost you up.
Mm-hmm.
But with Ghostbusters, it made less foreign than it did domestic.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they get banned in some countries, too?
Well, it didn't
play
in China.
I think like in China or something. It's like you can't have
chicks,
supernatural something or others. And mm-hmm. so it was like banned. It really something screwed with it because it total worldwide, $208 million off of a $144 million budget. Yeah, that's after all the advertising and everything else. Mm.
And I imagine in Muslim countries, they had to wrap the screen in a cloth.
And a big burqa.
Yeah. So that's what I think. All right.
But Independence Day didn't even make top 10.
Nope. Sure didn't. Man, it bottomed out. I mean, it just, Let's see here. 102 million. The first one made like 300 and some million. And people were talking it up nonstop. It just, it wasn't, it was just a matter of the movie was not good.
Yep.
It was not good.
It was not.
It was not. Ugh. Ugh.
Okay. So sad.
Yep. I'm doing a Justin on that one. Ugh.
You know, you owe me like a buck every time you do that.
I think I do. There's like a copyright now. There's a patent.
I think, yes, it is. It's trademark copyrighted.
I think you owe Dane. I think you owe Dane Cook money for that. Wait. With a side of ugh.
Nobody owes Dane Cook anything.
Tony, someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are for not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not SHIELD. It's not HYDRA.
No, but it's run by people with agendas, and agendas change.
That's good.
That's why I'm here. When I realized what my weapons were capable of in the wrong hands, I shut it down, stopped manufacturing.
Tony, you chose to do that. If we sign this, we surrender our right to choose. What if this panel sends us somewhere we don't think we should go? What if there's somewhere we need to go and they don't let us? We may not be perfect, but the safest hands are still our own.
If we don't do this now, it's going to be done to us later.
The Hole Awards. Let's do the Hole Awards, where we talk about what our favorite stuff of the year was. We do this every year. The categories pretty much remain the same. And we're going to start with, and we do ours however we do it. The first one is the most memorable scene of the summer. The most memorable scene of all the movies you saw this summer. Justin, what's your most memorable?
I loved the scene of Deadshot on top of that car blasting fools left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a scene that had been spoiled in trailers. And it really wasn't even that long of a scene. But for its brevity, it was so badass. Mm-hmm. I loved that moment. It was just a moment I didn't see coming, and that I was laughing and hurrahing and, you know, just kind of pumping my fist.
And he's like pushing Joel Kinnaman back, and he's like, I got this, son. Back up.
Yep.
Well, then he finishes it with that awesome one line that just like kind of just solidifies the whole scene. He said, what was it? Something like, this is how that's what walking away looks like, or something like that. Remember?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was so good.
Just very badass. For me, it was in X-Men Apocalypse, the Quicksilver scene, which was one of my favorite scenes from the last X-Men movie. And going into this, I was like, man, you're going to have to really work hard to top that one from the last one. And they totally did. Mm-hmm. It it was much longer. It was much more interesting. They did some original ideas with it. I wanted to go back and just rewatch that scene. As much as I didn't love that movie, he was so cool. It just sticks out in my head more than any other.
They like put all the creativity in that movie in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Mine's the ending to Anthropoid, which I know you guys didn't see, but the ending to the movie, there's Czech soldiers and the Nazis kind of come to a head, and it all revolves around a church, and that's about all I can say without spoiling something. But that whole it's one of the most tense confrontations I've seen in a long time. And if you're a fan of history or war movies, you got to check it out. It's really just, I mean, I was, my nails were dug into my wrists. And I mean, I was just like, oh, what's going to happen? It's one of those scenes. And I loved it. Loved it. Oof. Okay. Now what's the head slamming against the wall scene? The most ridiculous or the worst scene of the year?
Well, we talked a little bit about Independence Resurgence Day earlier and what a disappointment that was. But one of the biggest issues I had with that movie was the acting of the younger actors. And in particular, anytime the actor Angela Wing spoke, she was the actress that is like half Hong Kong, half German.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she spoke, which thank God wasn't that much, just like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm like, how did you guys make this movie so bad? And then I wanted to like go whoever did the casting for this movie and just like slap them upside the head, because I understand Independence Day is supposed to be cheesy. It's not supposed to be awful. And just made me so angry.
Was there
racist?
One half racist? Cause I think only half of her is Chinese. What,
didn't like Germans either.
Yeah.
Racist.
There you go. Mine's the ending to Conjuring 2. I can't go into all the detail. Obviously, there's two in a row where I can't really say a whole lot, but it's fractarded. It's so stupid. And I mean, I genuinely like the movie, but the ending, it has a whole big cheesy like diatribe of exposition and trying to resolve this person possibly maybe jumping out a window. I don't know. And then it's stupid. It's just dumb. And it made me angry as a moviegoer to watch that scene go, really? This is what you got. James Wan, one of my favorite horror directors. That's what you worked with. Okay. And I just wanted to leave the movie, honestly. That was awful for me. Justin?
Yeah, I got to go with Independence Day as well, but this has nothing to do with the acting. And it is, once again, these people making a movie but not knowing anything about the science of what they're doing. That alien ship was bigger than the moon, and it landed on Earth. And other than the devastation of it landing, that was it.
Okay.
That's BS. If something that big landed on the Earth would spiral out of the solar system because the center of gravity would have changed so much. It also would have caused untold devastation with volcanoes and earthquakes and everything else, because something that big with that kind of gravity would have basically cracked the Earth.
Whoa, slow down, Mr. Tyson.
It is ridiculous that for the pure need for spectacle that they completely ignore science.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they might as well not even act like this takes place in a real universe. These ships should have been flying around the moon in propellers, because it makes no effing sense.
Man, I feel like
I hate that. I hate it.
I feel like we're being scolded, and I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with this movie. Why do I feel bad?
And I gave it some money. Ugh. Wish I could unsee that movie.
Did you go back and say, I want a refund? And they said, why? And you're like, because it's stupid and I can't do it.
Because it's Independence Day.
I want a refund. Why? Did you see it?
And then he goes into
it's a turd.
He goes into his scientific exposition here.
I have never asked for my money back at a theater.
Never?
That feels wrong to me.
Oh, I still remember Platoon, when my grandpa asked for a refund on Platoon, because we walked in and we walked out because of all the swearing. He's like, nope, I want a refund. Like, we can't give you your money back. Like, you're going to give me my money back. And he got his money back.
You're an Arlie Ermey fan?
No, that was Platoon. Not Full Metal Jacket. Platoon.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I get my NAMM movies mixed up from time to time.
Well, they're kind of the same. That's because you got the Agent Orange in your brain, man.
I know. I got the PTSDs.
Oh, some vet is just pissing all over himself right now, going, I'm going to kick that dude's ass if I ever see him. He got that wrong. All right, best action sequence of the summer, for me, the airport scene in Captain America Civil War, hands down. Hands down.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah.
Hands down.
I like the Franklin surfing against the wave of alien ships in Star Trek with the Beastie Boys playing Sabotage. It was visually gorgeous to see all these little ships in kind of this school of fish type motion that they went through. But then to see all that unravel as that song kind of overrode their artificial intelligence. To me, that was probably the most beautiful action scene I saw this year. And I like that it was in a movie with spaceships, because I feel like lately we just haven't gotten enough spaceship action.
Well, because
there's never enough spaceship action for you, man.
No, no, never.
Well, if they land, they ruin Earth, so we can't have
that. Well, if they're freaking as big as two continents, yeah.
So you think I'm actually kind of shocked here. You think that spaceship scene is cooler than having Tony Stark and Captain Rogers going at each other, and Spider-Man and Ant-Man and Hawkeye?
Yeah, you know, I think the only reason that it stuck out to me more is every summer I get at least one or two of those.
Okay, I get what you're saying. And you don't get enough Sabotage.
I don't get enough Sabotage, nor do I get enough spaceship action.
Scott? Well,
Aaron, I got to agree with you on the Civil War one, but just to throw another one in there, and I know Justin already mentioned Suicide Squad and the Deadshot scene, but there was another, would you call it an action scene, when Will Smith's Deadshot is at the firing range? I loved that scene. It was again kind of short, but and a lot of it had to do with the dialogue that happened afterwards and the lead up to giving this convict a weapon that's actually loaded, and his reaction. And I've never seen a movie that did the whole you're gonna shoot a target and you're gonna hit the exact same spot over and over again, to the point that it actually melts its way through these metal targets. And I really liked that a lot. It was kind of made me want to pump my fist.
Is the scene where Margot Robbie puts her shirt on and everybody stares at her, is that an action scene?
Of a different sort.
That might actually
there was some action, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Is the definition of an action scene something that looks really good when you do it in slow motion? Because
hang on.
What?
I need a minute. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Reflection is beautiful. Okay, best scare or thrill, Justin. What was your best scare or thrill this year?
Well, I didn't see too many horror films, so I'm going to go with the best thrill. And for me, I might be stealing yours, Aaron. I don't know. But Spider-Man swinging into Civil War.
Nope.
And just seeing all the different things that he did in that battle. I knew, of course, from the trailer that he was going to be in it. But just to see, finally, the character of Spider-Man in one of these Marvel movies was such a thrill.
That Wonder Bruce!
My best. Yep.
That's up there. It was definitely up there, but it's not my number. You'll know my number one. Trust me. Scott, what's your best scare thrill?
Like Justin said, similar to Justin, I didn't see any scary films this movie or horror films, but I still was a little creeped out by Enchantress in Suicide Squad. I know that she got a little bit goofy at the end, but the scene where her like human counterpart is like summoning Enchantress. And there's a scene where, like, you see Enchantress's hand kind of envelop her own hand and then flip over as she turns into Enchantress. Mm-hmm. That kind of gave me a little tingle up my spine, and I thought that was really cool and kind of creepy. I wish they'd played that up a little bit more in that movie.
That's a really good one. Mine...
You didn't think Elven Queen Galadriel swishing her hips around stupidly Enchantress was as scary? Ugh.
God. Ugh. You're
that ugly. That whole ending to her character was... stupid.
You're ugging a lot. Are you okay?
It's gonna kind of sums up the summer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it kind of does. My best scare or thrill is the turkey baster scene in Doink.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and Don't Breathe. And I'm not gonna tell you what happens, but if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I am talking about.
I need to go see that.
You'll be scarred by it.
Man, I'm still. I went and saw it again, Justin, with my wife and daughter. We went and saw it again. It holds up, man. It's so good. It's so good. And that turkey baster scene is still so jacked up. Oh.
Is it worse than the girl with the dragon tattoo?
Oh,
the metal bar.
Yeah.
Anally raping that guy. I don't know which one's worse.
I don't know. It's close. It's pretty close. I would say dragon tattoo is probably more disturbing, but it's up there. It's up there.
Man, I don't know if I want to see it now.
Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do.
What do we have here?
What are you going to do? Are you going to kill me, Mr. J?
What?
Oh, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you. Really, really bad.
Best movie line. It's always a hard one. What's the best movie line, Scott?
This was a really hard one for me because I knew what movie it was going to be from, but I had to actually do a search and figure out what my favorite line was. And the movie is Bad Moms. There are so many one-liners in this movie that I just laughed so hard. And the one that stuck out to me more as I was like scrolling through the different quotes was Mila Kunis's daughter is in this movie, and she's sitting in at school or whatever, upset because she got kicked off the soccer team, and she's upset and she's worried about what that's going to do for her future career. And she says to her mom, "Do you know how hard it is to get into an Ivy League school? They're turning down Asians." It made me laugh so hard. And it's like this 12-year-old girl that's doing it. It just made it even funnier to me.
Oh, that's so funny. Good.
But there's countless lines from that movie.
Yeah, you could quote everything Catherine Hahn says, really. I mean,
for real. Or even Kiki, her character about her husband being a never hard.
Oh, and the circumstances. Yeah, like sometimes I just jam. I push both balls up there, and she's
like, "I have to." His dick never gets hard. I just have to fold it up like a balloon animal and shove it up in my vagina.
So good. Oh, that movie was so much better than it has any right to be.
Totally.
My favorite movie line. I got to explain it because I don't know if everybody does. Everybody, do you have Mr. Pibb in Texas, Justin?
I don't think so, but I know of it.
Okay. Well,
it's like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Well, it's like a poor man's Dr. Pepper. So right. It's kind of like, especially in the Midwest, I don't know about other places, but in the Midwest, you drink Dr. Pepper if you have to have that 32 flavor kind of drink. And you don't drink Mr. Pibb. You only drink Mr. Pibb when you can't find Dr. Pepper. And this is a weird setup, but I just want to explain it. So I'm watching Hell or High Water, and they must have Mr. Pibb because that's a very Texas movie. And Ben Foster, he asks his brother to go get him a Dr. Pepper. And he comes back, and Chris Pine is his brother, and he comes back and he gives him a Mr. Pibb because that's all they had. And all he says is, only assholes drink Mr. Pibb. And it's a stupid random line, but because of all the years I've dealt with people that have bitched on Mr. Pibb, it really struck me and I couldn't stop laughing. And I realize it's not as funny to everybody, but I laughed my ass off. That's
hey,
it.
It's your line. Yeah.
And you guys are like, well, that's, you wasted that shit, but whatever.
No, I didn't see it.
Seriously. You had to be there.
You had to be. Yeah, exactly. You had to be there. Justin, what's your favorite line?
This movie doesn't feature in any other question or element of this, but in the film The Boss, mm-hmm, with Melissa McCarthy.
I don't think that was summer, butter. I don't think that's summer.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that was March or April. You might be pushing the boundaries there a little bit.
All right. Well, I've got one for a summer film, I know, but
you can do
thought this other line was funny.
Do your boss one anyway, but it's not summer. That's all I'm saying.
Well, in The Boss, there's a scene where her gang of brownie sellers faces off against the Girl Scout cookies, mm-hmm, and they basically just have a throwdown in the middle of this street where girls are just bashing the shit out of each other. Melissa McCarthy's just beating the crap out of the other moms, but at the very end of it, as Melissa McCarthy and her victorious girls are walking away, one of those Red Wagon radio flyers kind of goes rolling by with a box of cookies that are burning. Mm-hmm. And Melissa McCarthy goes, that batch is burnt. And I thought it was really funny.
What's your other one?
It was from The Joker, where he's saying, are you sweet talking me? Because all that chit chat's going to get you hurt.
I did like
it. For some reason, that line always stuck with me.
Yeah, I did like that line. I didn't love The Joker like you did, but that is a pretty good line. I like that. The way he said it.
Especially with that smile tattooed on his hand, puts it over his face. I was almost like, I almost need to get that tattoo.
Would you really? Would you walk around with that and just have it, like, your hand
no,
over your face?
I would walk around with it, but no, I wouldn't hold it up to my face the entire time. My arm would get tired.
I would. Every time I would order something at the drive-thru, but I walk into whatever restaurant, I'd just put the hand up to the face and talk through my hand. Absolutely.
Yeah, because that won't get you arrested.
No, it'll get you hurt. Who's your biggest breakout? Director, writer, actor, or actress? That's the next category. Mine is going to be Fede Alvarez. It's not technically his first movie. He did the Evil Dead remake, and he did a great job with that. But it was also somebody else's movie. It was a remake. This is the first time where he had to actually make his own movie, and he wrote it with his partner, and he directed it. And he knocked it out of the park for me. It's, you know, the best horror movie of the year for me, and anybody that's ever listened to the show. I love horror movies, and it's very rare that I see a distinct vision. And he has a very distinct vision. I think I can recognize his film now. Even though it's a completely different kind of film than Evil Dead, he has a very distinct vision. And man, after this, I will watch anything the guy does from now on.
That's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of stuck with the director route myself, and I said Justin Lin for Star Trek Beyond. I knew the guy could do a car movie. You know, I knew action was his thing, but to be able to take the skills that he learned making car race films and apply it to space, mm-hmm, and then not totally F it up the way Independence Day did is, to me, it's a bit of a miracle, especially when you consider how many people have commented that this is the first real Star Trek movie of the Kelvin timeline, that the first two were too Abramsy, and so they really didn't have that Star Trek feel, whereas this one had more of that Star Trek feel. To come from a director who was most known for Fast and Furious films, that's odd.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you would think he would probably make, and I don't mean anything by it, but you would think his movie would be the most superficial, because those movies are basically 2-hour-long music videos.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But to suddenly make a Star Trek movie that's really good, surprising. To me, that was the biggest breakout for me.
You know what? To piggyback on that, he is the, I mean, for the three movies, his is the most Star Trek-y too, which mm-hmm. really surprised me, because J.J. Abrams, you know, you would think, I mean, with his would, I mean, he did kind of make Star Wars into Star Trek, but Justin, you're right. He really surprised me. I assumed he would do the same thing that J.J. Abrams did, only made it dumber. And he didn't do that. And that's not an insult. I mean, it's kind of what his thing is. Like, let's just make fun action flicks. And that's what I thought he was going to do, which is kind of the trend that Star Trek was going, honestly. And
Chris Pine would just be talking about, I do it for my crew.
Exactly. Slow. And he's got a shaved head for no reason whatsoever.
That's right.
What about
my crew's
you?
Crew's my family.
I went with the actor route a little bit, and I might be cheating a little bit because who I chose has been doing a lot of work on TV and some voice work in movies, but this is the first movie that I had actually seen her in, and it was Kate McKinnon in Ghostbusters.
Oh, good I thought pick. She was, yes, good pick.
She was so funny. Every scene that she did just
we're
made
just
me
keep
laugh.
Applauding, yeah.
I mean, my favorite probably was when she was like lip-syncing the lyrics to a song and just looking at what's his name? It just made me laugh. I just want to watch that scene over and over again. So,
is it the hat?
I can't wait to see her in more.
Is it the hat? I think it's the hat.
is it the hair or the hat?
It's just so funny. I'm buying that movie. I'm supporting the hell out of it. I had a really good time with that movie, and that was a great. I wish, man, that's a good call. Her and Fede would be really close. I didn't even think of it. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Now, I should have.
I know. Way to fail. The Darwin Award. This is the one that we give for the most idiotic or annoying character to us. Justin, you get to go first. Who's your pick for the Darwin Award?
I'm going to let you see if you can pick it for me. Hmm. Who did I choose? Who have I railed against the most this summer?
Okay.
No.
Oh.
Who do you think?
Oh, I thought you were going to give me some options. Damn.
This should be obvious.
Should be Harley Quinn. I mean,
you'd be able to see it with glasses with no glasses in them.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters.
Kevin in Ghostbusters, you suck.
I liked him.
If they came out with a Kevinless version of the DVD, that would be my DVD of choice. Luckily, I have a fast forward button.
Oh, that's funny.
And I will be using it during your scenes because they are god awful.
Oh, I loved him in that movie.
He didn't have
god awful
rubbing his eyes. It's funny.
It's not funny. It wasn't
so
funny then. It ain't funny now.
You're not funny. That was funny.
For me, it was an idiotic character, but annoying in a good way because it worked for the movie, and it was Christina Applegate's character in Bad Moms. I wanted to strangle her so much because she was so mean and so just such an awful person, and I just hope that there are not people like that out there that are that controlling and that, like, there's a scene in the movie where she's up on stage talking about, we have to have a serious conversation. There's a very bad thing going on in our schools. And it's baked goods.
Yeah. It's so you know, stupid. That part was really stupid. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It just grated on me. As much as I love that movie, she annoyed me, but she was supposed to. That was what they were going for.
Justin, you might want to turn off your speakers real quick because I don't want to make you sad. But Jared Leto is the Joker. I'm sorry. I've seen it twice. And as much as I see some things in it I like some of his choices. Minus that stupid goddamn grill. I find more wrong than right with his performance. But it's also 10 minutes. I want to see the extended, you know, another version or his next film where he gets time to kind of take it a step further. You know, maybe it was right. I don't know. But all I kept thinking after the end of both times I saw the movie was, that was annoying. That was not entertaining to me. It was not a Joker to me. It was just more Jared Leto trying really super hard to justify that Oscar. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't work for me at all. And that grill, oh, I just want to punch him in the grill every time. Oh,
you know what I'd love to see? I know I mentioned previously I'd like to see them do a Natural Born Killers type mm-hmm. of Joker movie. I'd also like to see a Heat kind of movie with the Joker and Harley Quinn. Just these balls to the wall killers who are out to rob this bank and Bruce Wayne's Batman out to stop them. And maybe just one scene of both Bruce Wayne and the Joker or Batman and the Joker in a diner, just sitting across from each other talking, would just be insanely cool.
Didn't they do that in The Dark Knight with the better Joker? What? Yeah, that just happened.
I didn't think of Heat when I saw it, and you know, Bank who you Robert. Find to be the better Joker is, you know, your mileage may vary.
All right, best couple or duo? Mine got an Oscar. That's all I'm saying. Best couple or duo?
Mine was an easy choice, and it was Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling in The Nice Guys. Two actors that I never thought would have worked together on screen, and they totally did. Just every scene that they did together was just had me rolling in my seat. It was really good. If you haven't seen that movie, check it out. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, if you like Justin, you liked Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, right? When you finally saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought The Good Guys. I just haven't watched it yet. For some nice reason, guys. I have not
the,
been.
Yeah, the nice guys. The sequel is The Good Guys.
Right. I haven't been in a movie mood lately. I don't know what it is. I've been watching too much TV.
Anything good?
Yeah.
Just checking. Okay. mine, honestly, Scott, this is going to be weird, but my best couple or duo is from The Nice Guys, but it's not those two. It's Ryan Gosling and Angourie Rice, who played his daughter.
That's a good call, too. Yeah,
PA, they're like, he's a PI, and he's kind of a good dad, but kind of an awful dad at the same time. And she's his daughter, Holly, who is fantastic. She's like a 45-year-old woman in a like a 10 or 12-year-old kid's body. It's just
she was really good.
Yeah, and she was great to watch, and they played off each other just beautifully. And every time they got a scene together, I was just really, really happy to see the two of them. And I just enjoyed the crap out of them. I really did. Justin, I think I know where yours might go.
No, actually, I didn't want to be that obvious. So I actually went with the Slimers in Ghostbusters.
What?
Because remember, there was the female Slimer and the male, and they were driving the Ecto-Mobile around. And in fact, you know, practically saved the day by driving it into that hotel there at the end. But, you know, it's sure it's a stupid, silly choice. But for some reason, that just kind of popped in my brain and I had to go with it.
No, that's really good, man. That's really, I didn't even think of that. That's pretty funny.
I mean, I'm just happy he's circumcised.
What if I get somebody who's not circumcised?
Run out of the room screaming. It's like finding a gun in the street. Just scream and get out of there.
No way. You guys, uncut guys are great.
Really?
Oh, they're always so nice to you because they know their dicks are gross.
Now we're on to the acting categories in our whole awards. And this first one is Best Supporting Character. What was the best supporting character? My favorite was Catherine Hahn as Carla in Bad Moms. That woman, everything she said was freaking hilarious and made the movie for me. So, yeah, that's what I got. Best supporting character? Maybe Chris
Does
Hemsworth.
Does she just play that same character in every movie, though, now at this point? Like, yeah, but she's the same character in Step Brothers.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with it. She does that character well. And Chris Hemsworth might have been a pretty close second, but, you know, we'll see what happens. He's a runner-up. He touched his eyes, Justin. He puts him through the glasses and touched his
you
eyes.
You say that just to spite me.
I say it because it was so – it was really comedic brilliance, if you think
My
about
choice
it.
Is Sophia Boutella in Star Trek Beyond as – oh, God. Jalon? J-Law?
Sure. J-Law? Yes, J-Law. I'm sure that's it.
J-Law.
Well, I remember they named her kind of after Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was J-Law or Jalal, something like that. But either way, I had never, you know, other than that abysmal Kingsman movie, I had never seen her
Kingsman?
In anything. And she was really, really good. And I was surprised at how much her character appealed to me and how much weight she was able to carry on that screen next to these other actors who had been doing it for longer. And she really held her own. I enjoyed her performance quite a bit.
That's a good one. What's her name again?
Sophia Boutella.
No, I mean the character's name. I'm just trying to see if
it is J-Law. J-A-Y-L-A-H.
All right.
Thank you.
I also picked one from Bad Moms, but I didn't
God
pick
damn.
Catherine.
Yeah. I really missed out not seeing this movie.
You sure did.
Dude, it's so your movie. But Kristen Bell's Kiki to me was even funnier to me. Catherine Hahn was very much in your face with the one-liners, but Kiki was great because she was such a sweet character, and then hearing like just foul things come out of her mouth, but she said it in such a timid way just cracked me up so much. She made me laugh so even harder than Catherine Hahn did. So that was my pick.
Oh God, the hoodie, the whole circumcision scene has got to be one of the funniest scenes I've seen this year. Seriously,
just the look on her face. She's just got this look of horror, like this is really happening. I'm never wearing the sweatshirt again.
Oh God, so funny. All right, biggest badass. That is the biggest badass in films this summer. Who is your pick?
I had to go literal on this. Giant Man from Civil War.
Hmm.
Normally he's Ant-Man, but this time he got to jack it up.
Why'd you like him so much?
Because it was, I didn't see that coming. And none of the trailers did I see him get super big. And so it was a real surprise to me that they were giving that character that power, especially in a movie that's not his own film, but one that he's just co-starring in. I thought it was really a great move on their part to showcase another power that this character has.
I'm surprised you didn't pick mine, and that was Deadshot.
Mm. Just coming up.
Yeah. He was just so awesome. Not only just a badass in physicality, but just the lines that he said, and he was also a good dad, and he was such a badass all around. I loved every scene that he was in.
Will Smith has still got the goods, man. He just does. Mm-hmm. Okay, mine is it's from it's kind of a smaller movie, but it did pretty well. And the reason why this character was such a badass is because Blake Lively in The Shallows is a character who basically goes off to swim, not a big deal, on a beach, and gets attacked by a shark. Out in the middle of the water, and she can't get back to the beach, and she has to find a way to survive, and she uses both her mind and her physicality to survive, and she uses, you know, some medical training. She's in med school and whatnot, and all of it combined, the things that she's trying to do just to survive, I thought were really, really smart, really, and it took a really tough performance to do it, and by the end of the movie, I'm like, God, she nailed every scene, and the movie is 100% dependent upon her, where as much as I like Deadshot, the movie's not dependent on him. If he wasn't there, I still think it'd be a fun movie. If Blake Lively's not in The Shallows, you just literally don't have a movie. So for me, she's the biggest badass in the summer.
It'd be the empty screen.
Yeah, it'd just be like, well, the shark got her.
So man, the ending of that movie was awesome.
Yeah, it was. She's just great in that movie. And she really
now,
is.
Did any sharks roar in that film?
Nope, just Jaws 4.
Jaws 4.
Yeah, God. It really, did you watch the video? It really does roar.
Hell yeah.
I did not remember that at all. I didn't. Okay. Now we're at Mr. and Miss Summer. These are the most engaging actors and actresses from the entirety of the summer. Who is your most engaging actor for you this summer, Scott?
For me, it was Paul Rudd, but not in the movie that you think it was. I recommended a movie on our podcast called The Fundamentals of Caring. And his performance in this movie was so good because he had such a wide range of heart as well as humor and just sheer fear of what he was doing that stuck out for me more than anybody else the entire summer. I know a lot of people have checked it out since recommending it. I hope more do because that movie is fantastic. Paul Rudd's so good.
I still want to watch that. And it's still on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think they get removed from Netflix, do they?
Well, yeah, it is a Netflix original. Sorry. Sorry, mm-hmm. Scott. So sensitive. Jeez. Mine is Chris Pine. Chris Pine. This is just the summer of the pine. He, Star Trek Beyond, once again, he's the best Captain Kirk. I think he's better than Shatner because he makes Captain Kirk like a real character as opposed to just whatever the hell Shatner does. And
caricature.
Yeah, he's his own caricature. And Hell or High Water, just cement. I mean, the guy can play against type. He can do a lot of different things. He can go up against heavy hitters like Jeff Bridges, and everything I see him in, I like him in. And this summer, I got a lot of him, and I really, really enjoyed him. So Chris Pine, hands down.
And he looks like he's going to be really good in Wonder Woman.
I'm really curious. I don't know that character. Is that like is he a hero at some point, or he's just going to be someone that just follows her on the story and it's kind of going to be like Haley Atwell in First Avenger kind of thing, which is a love interest.
Yeah, he was... Purely, I mean, really just a love interest for Wonder Woman.
Okay. I'll check it out.
For me, Deadshot, Will Smith. I was so afraid that Will Smith was going to Will Smith all over this film. And he did, but in the best way possible, not in the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned what could have been, you know, just your average kind of mercenary killer into someone with a great amount of personality. I love the relationships he had with the characters, with his daughter. You know, that whole thing to Rick Flag, is that the best you can do? Is that how you're going to motivate us? Triangle, bitch, study.
That's so funny.
He really owned the screen. And I, yeah, for me, he was the man of the summer.
Can't go wrong with that one either. That's, and Will Smith is what, the king of just about 14 summers total, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's the guy. How about Miss Summer? It's a little bit different category. Who's the most engaging actress for you of the summer? Mine, I thought, was really easy pick. Margot Robbie. And not just the Suicide Squad all over this bitch, but she nailed it. And Tarzan also, even though the movie's called Legend of Tarzan, I like Jane the most. I thought Jane was the most interesting character in the movie, which in a movie called Tarzan, I think is quite an achievement. And then, you know, when you look at Suicide Squad, she was the best thing about the movie. I don't think she had enough to do, and Will Smith got a lot more to do than she did. So his character stands out a little bit more. But I think she's the light in that movie. And I just think she's an actress that everything she does, I just can't stop watching her. She's just, and not because she's great looking. She's just a good actress.
Doesn't hurt,
I told you she looked like a younger Jamie Presley.
She does. Yeah,
she totally does.
It's but almost eerie.
She's about three times the actress as Jamie Presley, though.
Oh, well, that's not a high bar.
It's not even a bar, really.
No, it's just kind of like a bump in the carpet. The same. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn with just phenomenal. And I'm so glad that the trailers didn't spoil the fact that she actually used quite often the Harley Quinn voice, mm-hmm. You know, the whole Mr. J and Puddin and that kind of thing. I thought the movie creators were going to find that to be too cliche or too campy. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't going to have her do it, but instead they did. And I was really surprised and quite happy about that. So yeah, she was so good. She almost could have it just been Margot Robbie, Suicide Squad, and it still would have been pretty good.
Is it Robbie or Robbie?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably Robbie. I think two O's is a boo sound, so it probably is Robbie.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, I like it. What about you, Scott? Who's your Miss Summer?
I went a little different than Margot Robbie, and you mentioned earlier The Shallows. I thought Blake Lively was fantastic.
She was.
The fact that the majority of that movie is her by herself, with no other person to interact with, and yet I still felt completely engaged in every scene that she was in. That's a testament of a really good actor to be able mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't seen a performance that good since like Tom Hanks in Castaway, where you got someone that's by themselves for that long and still kept me interested. I mean, there's good chunks of that movie where there's not even any dialogue, mm-hmm. where she's not talking. You're just watching her react and overcome. And the fact that I was that into this movie for the entire hour and a half or hour 45, whatever it was, that's really good performance in my opinion. And I hope more people see that movie too, because it was a good surprise this summer.
Yeah, I hope she gets more opportunities, man. She's so much more than the Green Lantern role or Gossip Girl, whatever else. I mean, she can really
She's
act.
So much more than a great, great, great behind.
Well, way to take it to the lowest common denominator. Yeah. I would.
Poor Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, poor Ryan Reynolds. What a sad life.
I feel so sorry for him.
I would pay to watch those two go at it, because it's like two perfect specimens. I want to see, like, it would be like watching a wild, you know, when you watch the Discovery Channel or something, you watch a couple of perfect beasts mating. That's what I would like to watch.
Do they have kids?
Yes, they have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think they have
Yeah,
kids.
She had a baby and still looks like that. There are moms that want to cut her up. Just on principle.
I mean, you pull back the sheets on them making love, and it's almost like when they open the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
The glow.
Just this golden light
yep.
spills out. I'm imagining that's what their bedroom looks like.
Kid is going to be the most beautiful person.
No, you know what's going to happen? Watch it be just, you know, deformed or something.
Watch it be like, what's her name? Rebel Wilson?
Wow.
How the How the hell that happened?
Justin at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
What happened?
Oh, boy. I'm not touching
How do you that. Have that mom? And
who's her mom?
He's a fairly good-looking dude. Oh, chick from Striptease, Ghost.
No, you're thinking...
You mean Moore?
Yeah.
You're not thinking Rebel Wilson.
No, not her. Sorry, you're right. Rebel Willis.
Yes. That's Rumor.
Rebel Willis. Wilson, she's kind of cute. She's fine.
Rumor Willis.
Thank you. Oh my God. I'm so glad y'all corrected that.
If you're going to be shaming people, get the right people, Justin. Jeez.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I apologize to Rebel. I was not talking about you. What the hell happened with Rumor Willis?
Oh, man.
Looking dad, and she looks. What is up? How'd that happen?
I don't want to touch it. Literally.
I don't think they have a good-looking kid between them.
No, it's almost like there's something wrong with the fallopian tubes.
There's something wrong somewhere, because...
Oh, man.
Woof.
That's what happens when Rob Lowe gets there first. All right.
I guess so.
What's the most...
He took all the good eggs and...
At least your father spared the elephants. Good for him.
Look, the Roswell crash in 47. The farmer who made contact drew the same circle. And every time I interview one of my patients and show them this, they all express the same emotion.
Fear. And I don't think it's a circle. The night the ship turned on, I experienced the strongest vision I've ever had. And I drew this.
That's incredible. How'd you decipher so much of their language?
They were hunting us. We had to learn how to hunt them.
What's the most disappointing film of the year? Oh, I can't wait for the letters. What's the most disappointing film of the year, Justin?
Independence Day, Resurgence, Move On.
Yep, me too.
Well, since you guys took that one, I'm going to go with Neighbors 2. That was a real close one. I absolutely love that first movie. And then this happened. And all I did was look at my watch and wish I was home watching the first movie. Even Rose Byrne looked bored. It just so disappointed. And it's really close because I was really anticipating that and just dropped the ball.
That's a shame. Because, Neighbors is so funny.
Oh, so funny. Ugh.
Just the airbag jokes alone.
No, I got to go watch the first one again. Okay, biggest movie surprise. Biggest movie surprise for you this year.
Biggest movie surprise for me is easy. The Fundamentals of Caring. That's a Netflix original I already mentioned. I just watched it on a whim, and I cannot believe how much I adored that movie. And everybody I've recommended it to has just said, thank you for recommending that movie. It was so good. And total big shocker. Did not expect to like that much.
Good call,
man. Went in with zero expectations, and it's a favorite, easily.
Well, I respect your opinion, which means I'm going to have to watch it soon.
When did that happen?
Literally like 2 seconds ago. It just happened. My biggest surprise was Warcraft. You know, it's one of those movies where I didn't even care about it because I've never played it. I don't know anything about it. Didn't care. Critics hated it. Audiences were ignoring it. And I kind of went just because, wow, is it really that bad? Because the critics, I mean, just were savagely beating the crap out of it. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it just.
I love that you just said, wow, that cracks me up.
What's that?
Wow. World of Warcraft.
Oh, wow. See, I did it again. Wow. God damn it.
Just keep doing it. It's like a domino effect of wows.
I can't stop.
Whoa. Try that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Anyway, honestly, people, if you wonder about a movie, go see it for yourself. I think this is that was the perfect demonstration to me that stop taking everything, especially critics these days, man, they are getting so... I feel like they're not even trying to enjoy movies anymore. But this was really a lot better than any critic I read said it was. It was just, I mean, it's not a great movie. And I'm not trying to oversell it and say this is the Lord of the Rings you're looking for. It's not that. But it's really good. And it's a solid movie. And by the end of it, I wanted more. And that's what you want in a big summer film. So there you go. Justin, what about you?
Fede Alvarez's Don't Breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, I really had no idea going into it what to expect. I really did enjoy his remake of The Evil Dead. I enjoyed it probably more than I thought I would. But this movie, like you said, it's his first directorial piece that he wrote that's original to him and his screenwriting partner. And you and I went to go see it at South by Southwest. At the time, it was untitled. Mm-hmm. So we really had basically no idea what we were going to go in and see it. And to come out of it having seen that film is amazing.
Good pick. I'm with you all the way. Worst summer movie. What was the worst movie you saw this summer?
Now You See Me Too.
Really?
I went into that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You mean Now You Don't?
Yeah. I went into that with such high expectations because the first one was such a fun surprise. And this, did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I avoided it like the plague.
I want to see it.
They just tried so hard. There were some clever things in it, but just they didn't even feel like the same characters at some points. Like it just they were just trying to capitalize on what was so good about the first one and just tried way too hard. And I just walked out so disappointed. It was like the only time in the summer that I kind of regretted going to the theater to see it. So,
really? Wow. Yeah. That's my damn it. Now I'm not wanting to say wow ever again. Son of a bitch.
Whoa.
Really? That's kind of surprising. Mine's going to be Sausage Party. No big surprise there. But
dude.
Yeah. Dude, bro. You know what I'm saying, bro? Yeah, bro. This movie was not good, bro. I went and saw it, bro, and I thought I was going to see a whole lot of cool shit, bro. Not good, bro. Just not good.
I got to get up in there, bro.
That part was really funny.
You know, as much as you say that movie sucks, I kind of have to see it.
I think you and Justin will probably like it a lot more than I did. But I just, like, when you're repeating and recycling jokes over and over, I was just, oh, my God, let's get on with it. And the dude, bro, there's funny parts to it. And, like, the douche attacking the vagina or wanting to get in that vagina, that was hysterical. But overall, as a movie, too many cool ideas wasted on dick jokes. And it just didn't work for me. Just didn't work. Justin, Star Trek Beyond? I'm just kidding.
No, same category, though. Same genre.
Oh.
Independence Day. Piece of shit.
Man, you really didn't like that one, did you?
I'm so... It has such potential. And, you know, I love space opera. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with some stretching of space, you know, physics rules and thermodynamic laws. But Jesus, to the point to where they just it doesn't even exist anymore. I can't. And then the acting on top of it. I mean, the dude who played Will Smith's son, he made Miles Teller look exciting.
That takes a lot.
There's nothing this guy brought to the screen. No. Nothing but sour looks. There wasn't a single actor in this movie that was worth a damn, except for maybe Brett Spiner.
I don't disagree. Yeah. And how about that ending where they time it down to the minute and then run about 10 minutes over what the time was? That was even better. I love that.
If Jaeger would have popped out at the end, that might have salvaged it to fight that big alien queen monster.
Man, now I kind of really wish that would have happened. That could have been.
It should have. Gypsy Danger should have rolled up and taken this one to the mat.
Okay, we are at the end. We are at where we're going to finish the end, and that's going to be our top three summer movies. These are our favorite three movies of the summer.
I just thought I'd see if I could fix some of these. Or, you know, if you want to get new ones, I could go into town at lunchtime. Or we could both go.
Do you know what, Louisa? Me smashing those photographs was not an accident.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't think.
You thought you knew best. Well, I don't want those pictures staring at me every time I'm stuck in bed waiting for someone to bloody get me out again, okay?
I wasn't going to fix the one of Alicia. I'm not that stupid.
Spare me the COD psychology. Just go and raid your grandma's wardrobe or whatever it is you do when you're not making tea.
You don't have to be an arse. Your friend deserved it. I'm just trying to do my job as best I can. So it would be really nice if you didn't try and make my life as miserable as you apparently make everyone else's.
And what if I said I didn't want you here?
I'm not employed by you. I'm employed by your mother, so unless she says she doesn't want me here anymore, I'm staying. Not because I care about you or particularly enjoy your company, but because I need the money. I really need the money.
Just put them in the drawer.
So my number three is Me Before You, which is Emilia Clarke and Sam Claflin. And he's basically a paraplegic who Emilia Clarke comes in to take care of him and they fall in love. And it's a really heartfelt story and it goes in a different direction than I thought it was going to go. And I went on this because some people suggested it, but I really didn't expect to love it. And I walked out of that movie wanting to marry Emilia Clarke more than I do watching Game of Thrones. She's just absolutely adorable and they made a great couple. And it was for as sad of a movie as it was, I smiled a lot. It was a really heartfelt movie. I really, really enjoyed it.
I've heard it makes gay people straight.
Yeah. I mean, I came out and I'm like, I want girls now. Yep. You're right.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Isn't Justin next?
Oh, it's Justin. I'm sorry.
My number three is Don't Breathe. Shocking, but it was so good. I mean, I don't even want to call it a horror film. It's more a thriller to me than anything else. I mean, horror is fine, but it's so shocking how good it was.
Well, tell people real quick, because these are our top three, and some people might not have listened to every episode. So just real quick, what is that about?
Don't Breathe is about three people who want to break into this man's house because they believe that he's won a large settlement and they're going to break into his house and steal it. And then when they find out that he's blind, they figure this is just going to be a complete cakewalk of a heist. And by the end of it, they are several different shades of effed up. Because Stephen Lang, blind or not, is going to kick your ass.
Yep. My ass still hurts from watching him beat all that ass.
Yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. That's uncomfortable all over the place.
It is. Turkey baster. All right, Scott, number three.
My number three is, we talked about it a lot already, but Bad Moms. If you're not familiar with that movie, it is Mila Kunis, who's basically been fed up with all the expectations of being a quote-unquote good mom, and goes on this crusade to just kind of let go and be a bad mom. And she's got a couple buddies with Catherine Hahn and Kristen Bell, and they just get into lots of trouble and are in like a feud between Christina Applegate's overly motherly PTA leading wench in that movie. And it is just hilarious and totally worth checking out.
Behold the voice of God.
For those of you who don't know me officially, my name is Amanda Waller.
There's an event in Midway City. I want you to enter the city, rescue HVT1, and get them to safety.
I'm sorry. For those of us who don't speak good guy, what is HVT1?
The only person that matters in the city, the one person you can't kill. Complete the mission, you get time off your prison sentence. Fail the mission, you die.
Anything happens to Colonel Flagg, I'll kill every single one of you. Remember, I'm watching.
I see everything.
There's your pep talk. So that's it? What, we some kind of suicide squad? I'll notify your next of kin.
Number two, your number two favorite summer movie. My second is Hell or High Water. That is where Chris Pine and Ben Foster are brothers robbing banks while Jeff Bridges and his partner are trying to catch them. It's a real simple crime thriller, and it's full of character drama, a lot of humor, a lot of action. I loved it, and it's number two.
For me, I'm going to go with Captain America Civil War. It's basically the Avengers have been split in half. Iron Man's side feels that superheroes should be accountable to someone and be held responsible for their actions, whereas Captain America and his side feel like they should not have to answer to anyone, that they should be ready to take on a threat in a moment's notice rather than wait around for a committee to tell them that it's good to do so. It's surprisingly nuanced. It's got some great cameos in it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I cannot wait to see what more they do with Black Panther. I really can't wait to see. This movie has made me actually really look forward to seeing Spider-Man Homecoming, whereas I had really almost negative level interest in it beforehand. So that's a pretty mean feat right there.
Yeah, I agree. Really helped overcoming that boundary that was there.
Well, that taste of those previous Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, and I didn't even dislike them. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is pretty close, but it's just a matter of really we need a third reinvention, and then you see him pop up here, and it's like, okay, I guess we do. I guess mm-hmm. we needed it. Who knew? And Captain America just missed my list. That was a really fun movie. Scott, what's your number two?
It was also my number two pick as well, so I'm not going to say too much more on it, but the big thing for me was that it was just like a great kickoff to summer. I thought I was in for a really good ride going into summer with that starting off, and unfortunately I was disappointed, but still, that was a great movie.
You ever had a Slim Jim? What do you think?
I think it's time. Come on. This is what road trips are all about.
Can't have a bite of the gym. Bite the gym. Nibble on the gym. Bite of the James? Hmm? Isn't that what they say in your country? Little bite of the James, shall we? Yum, 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 yum. Mmm, yum, 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 yum. Little bite of James? Good.
And number one, the number one summer movie for you, your favorite movie of the summer, my number one was Don't Breathe. It was Don't Breathe. I loved it. And
Don't Breathe.
Yep.
Don't Breathe.
And seeing it a second time just solidified it. It was my favorite film. I love a great horror movie, and I think it's a great horror movie, and it's so simple. There's really very little story to it. It's just how it's directed, how it's acted, and everything about it just worked, and it fired on all cylinders. It's very slick and to the point. It's not one of those overdrawn films like my comments here. All right, Justin?
I gotta go Batman versus Superman. Just kidding. I'm going with Suicide Squad. I went in figuring that I would enjoy it and came out loving it much more than I thought I would. It exceeded every single expectation. And were it not just for that weird twist the Enchantress took at the end, it really had no down moments for me whatsoever.
Can I ask you a question, since those are your top two are Captain America and Suicide Squad? How close are they?
Not very.
No?
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Civil War is a movie that I expected to like a lot, that I have a history with, and I kind of, aside from a few surprises, I knew what I was getting going into the theater. I really had no basis for comparison or to let me know what to expect going into Suicide Squad. So many people have disliked what DC has done so far. I feel bad for them. But there was so many ways that movie could have failed. And Marvel is such a machine now mm-hmm. that it's almost a given that a Marvel movie is going to be really, really good. They've got the proper people in place. They've got the infrastructure in place. It's a given. Suicide Squad, it had every reason it could have failed. And it didn't. It rose above all of that to really be a remarkably fun and funny, a very quirky and interesting kind of comic book film, one that I had not seen before. And that's why I would not put them too close together, because Civil War was almost, I'm not getting the phrase that I'm wanting to hear, but it was almost a cliche that it was going to be in my top three. Suicide Squad had a higher bar to go over.
Okay. Scott, what's your number one?
My number one, I've talked about multiple times already, but and I don't mean to oversell this movie, but The Fundamentals of Caring, again.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Scott!
I'm sorry, but it was so good. I just can't get it. If you're not familiar with it, it's a Netflix original. It stars Paul Rudd as a caregiver who is taking care of a younger kid that is stuck in a wheelchair because of a debilitating disease that he has. And he basically wants to give him some experiences that he's never had because of his condition, and takes him on a road trip to see all these things across the country that he's always wanted to see but never has been able to. And it's just it's got more heart than any movie I've seen this year. much less the summer. And I can't recommend it enough. It's funny. The kid in the wheelchair is super snarky and hilarious, and the two play off each other so well. And if you haven't already, check it out. It was by far my favorite movie of the year. It might be my second favorite movie. I'm sorry, favorite movie this summer, second favorite movie of the year. It's that good.
Okay, that's our top three. Now it's time for listener top three, which I think you probably won't be too surprised with. Are you ready? Already?
I'm ready.
I mean, we actually recorded this a little after we recorded the initial episode, so Justin couldn't join us for this part. Just so you know, if you don't hear him, it's not because he's ignoring the choices. I'm sure he loves most of them. Are you ready for number three?
I'm ready.
This was actually the big surprise. Number three, and this is our listener. We polled across all our social media and took random polls from homeless guys. We walked to the bus station, that sort of thing. Number three of the summer, favorite movie from our listeners. Number three is The Nice Guys.
Really?
Which was a big surprise, actually. I didn't expect The Nice Guys to get in there, but it's in there.
I didn't either. I mean, I liked the movie and all that, but wow, top three. That's interesting.
Top three, buddy. Top three. Number two is actually, according to critics, to be a huge surprise, but according to us, not so much. Suicide Squad. That's right.
That's not a surprise.
I'm kind of surprised just based on how many people tried to trash it, but the people that I've talked to, most of them really liked it.
So that means number one is going to be Ghostbusters then, according to that logic?
Yes, number one is Ghostbusters. Congratulations. Just kidding. Number one is Captain America, Civil War. No real surprise whatsoever.
Yeah, that was real good one.
So what do you think? Can't argue with that one. You think that's pretty good list?
I think that is a pretty solid list. I think I'm not mad at it. I ain't mad at it.
I'm okay with it. I got to tell you, after just this past weekend, I rewatched The Nice Guys.
Uh-huh.
I think I like it more than I did the first time I saw it.
I may have to do the second time too.
Oh, man.
I feel like I need to do that with a bunch of the summer movies because I felt so let down, but everyone that I've seen the second time, I've enjoyed. Like Suicide Squad, I liked a lot better the second time. You like Nice Guys a lot better the second time. Well, even more the second time.
Even more. Maybe I'll go watch Sausage Party. Nope. No, bro. It's not going to happen.
No. I got to get in there, bro.
I can't stop thinking about that one scene.
I haven't even seen the movie, and I'm quoting it.
So good. Okay, well, before we wrap this show up, there's actually some more stuff we're going to talk about. But something happened actually in the midst of recording all this stuff, and we need to briefly touch on it. And that is, we lost yet another 2016, you can piss off, another celebrity, one of our childhood nostalgic staples, and that is Gene Wilder.
Oh, so sad.
Scott, you want to talk to Gene Wilder's loss a little bit?
Man, just so many memories of his performances, because he kind of has this reputation of just being kind of the crazy guy looking at things. Like, I mean, Willy Wonka, like you mentioned, and Young Frankenstein. But he just had such a charm about him, even when he was being a semi-serious actor, just being regular comic. Like, See No Evil, Hear No Evil is a movie that I remember loving a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, he was funny, but he was playing sort of a straight character in that thing. And this year sucks. I mean, there's so many entertainment ones that have just really hit home. This one is up there in the ones that just like, it's just awful. What was it, Alzheimer's? Complications of Alzheimer's?
Yeah, complications from Alzheimer's. I don't know what that means, but going on about it. It doesn't matter. He's 83 years old. He had a good life. So it's not like he was young or it was unexpected. I mean, it wasn't like Prince where it's like, what? I mean, he's 83. You get it.
Right, right.
And he's done so many, I mean, just so many things that you can point to and go, man, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. His stuff with Richard Pryor, his stuff with Mel Brooks, his Willy Wonka. I mean, so many things that he's done.
I seriously think that Young Frankenstein is like up there in like the top 5 or 10 comedies in my book. It's just so, it's such my kind of humor, like dad jokes. and he's just so silly, but the character thinks he's so serious at the same time. And I'm just picturing, I want to go back and rewatch Young Frankenstein now. It's just so classic.
Frankenstein. the one thing I got to tell you know, usually when a celebrity dies, you get all your social media feed just fill up with everybody's picture of their this celebrity, whatever their favorite role was. And his didn't make me sad. It made me smile. Most of his stuff just made me smile.
Yep. That iconic like meme that goes around now of him like with his tell me head again. On his hand.
Yeah.
Tell me about this. It's become like just an internet sensation, even in today's world. Where and that I can't watch that movie now probably without seeing that scene and just thinking of that meme. That's it's so funny though.
And as we wrap up talking about Mr. Wilder, let's all remember what a man of pure imagination he was.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our top three summer movies. And I want to ask a question, because Suicide Squad and Captain America came up a lot. And Justin, I'll probably aim this at you. Well, no, I aim it at Scott first, because I kind of, you know, I know Justin will probably go on for a while on this topic. So, Justin, Scott, you can ask first. With the critical response being less than positive for Suicide Squad, whereas, you know, Captain America was way up there in terms of just critical response, not audience response. Do you want them, and you said you enjoyed Suicide Squad on a second viewing, do you want them to change course and come closer to the way Marvel does it? Or do you want them to stay on the course they're on and keep doing movies the way that they're doing them, maybe just streamline it a little bit more?
As much as I didn't love Suicide Squad, although I did like it better the second viewing, I like the direction that they're going. Like you said, I wanted it just a little bit more streamlined. And I wish they wouldn't take quite as artistic liberties with like the Joker that they did. But I like where they're going. It's getting a little bit more interesting. I like that they're going the quote unquote Avengers route with like Justice League. I'm really excited to see what they're doing, and I'm hopeful for the future. I just hope that they continue to listen to fans and give them what they want instead of what the suits think will make the most money.
All right, now Justin.
Oh gosh. Part of me really wants DC to chart its own path. What I like about the DC movies is that each of them kind of feels a little different from each other. And from what I've seen of the Justice League and Wonder Woman, that looks like it's going to continue. And I want that to continue. Marvel has got such a machine going now that there doesn't feel like there's a lot of difference between a Captain America movie and an Avengers movie and an Iron Man movie. They all have a general vibe and color palette and whatnot that they kind of flow together. And that's great for what Marvel's doing. I think that creates a commonality to them all that really helps them feel like they're all a part of the same world. But DC doesn't need to do that. And I hope that they don't do that. I want each of their films to feel distinctly different from each other. I don't want Aquaman to feel like a Wonder Woman movie, because it shouldn't. These are two entirely different types of heroes. Just like I don't want a Superman movie to feel like a Batman movie. They're entirely different in their approaches to how they handle their villainy and how they handle their heroes. So I would like to see DC chart its own unique path with each and every movie. Maybe get an infrastructure in place that facilitates these movies happening faster, but I don't want them to all feel the same.
Okay, I was just curious. The one thing I noticed looking at the summer list is that, you know, it seems like lately people say, well, all that ever come out in the summer are comic book movies. Well, that's not even close to true. There were one, two, three big ones, really. So, yeah, that's not a comic book movie laden summer. There's a lot of stuff I think they just didn't click. I mean, movies I really thought were going to hit, like the BFG. You know, Scott, you love that book. And it's a Steven Spielberg movie. And I think 5 years ago, that would be a massive hit. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't lighting things up. And then they had a ton of sequels that just flopped. Alice to the Looking Glass, Now You See Me 2, Ice Age Collision Course, Neighbors 2.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles are, I mean, just, it, it do you guys think like the studios just don't know what audiences want anymore, and they're just going, like we've said before, brand recognition, and that's all they care about?
That's what I feel like. They're just going for what worked in the past and what they feel is safe, and people are getting tired of safe. They want something fresh and exciting and original.
Exciting and new.
Incomable.
Yeah, you know, it feels like they're taking the path of least resistance. And that's also the past of least interest. Mm-hmm. Boom. Somebody write that shit down.
That's a t-shirt. That's a t-shirt.
A t-shirt right there.
Boom. Okay, so let's talk about next summer. I think we might be a little more excited for next year. What do you want to see in next year's summer crop of movies that are coming out? What's really standing out to you the most, Justin?
Well, I mean, there's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Volume 2, which really is probably my big movie of next summer. I am curious about the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Mm-hmm. I love pirates. I was really disappointed in how they handled themselves with the fourth film. I want this to be a return to what they had done so well with the first three movies. But definitely Guardians. I'm actually also kind of curious about Baywatch to a certain extent. I'm hoping that it's really, really cheesy and campy. The cast for it looks pretty good. But of all the movies coming out next summer, you know, there's Wonder Woman and then there's Transformers Last Night. And I'm incredibly curious what they're going to be doing with Transformers.
I got to tell you, man, I'm done. Unless they go to Cybertron, I don't have any interest in that. I've went through four movies. Unless they do something really different or really unique, which is possible. I mean, it is possible. Michael Bay came back, and something must have enticed him to come back, not just to do the same movie again, I wouldn't imagine.
I hope not.
What about you, Scott? What are you most excited about next year?
Well, Justin already mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, but Uncharted. Finally, I've been waiting for a movie based on that video game property for a while. I am very hopeful for that one, even more hopeful than I am for Assassin's Creed. Cannot wait to see what they do with that. And Alien Covenant.
Mm. Is that next summer? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some shots of that, and that's getting me more and more excited. I cannot wait to see what they do with that, and because I love the Alien movie so much, and I just please be good. Please be just awesome.
Isn't this one the Prometheus 2, not really Alien 5, though? Isn't that what this one is?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Alien, but we're going to call it Alien Covenant, so I don't know.
Damn you, Ridley Scott.
Well, it's technically an Alien movie. It's just a prequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose. It's still...
I mean, it's not Neil Blomkamp's, but then again, his is a complete kind of reset of the Alien franchise for ignoring the fact that 3 and 4 even exist.
Let's get it going, man. Sigourney Weaver ain't getting any younger, you know what I'm saying?
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, saying?
No, I'm saying?
No, I mean?
No regrets.
No regrets? Not even one letter?
Not even a letter. The ones I'm most excited about, Guardians 2. We already talked about that. I'm actually really excited for the Baywatch movie, a rated R Baywatch movie with Zac Efron and The Rock and the what's her name, Alexandra Double D Daario. And she's gonna, you know, basically she's her daughter. I don't know if she's a love interest. What I'm kind of curious about that. Pirates 5. I like Pirates 4. I really did like Pirates 4. I did. I thought. It wasn't great, but I enjoyed it. Wonder Woman, really excited for that. I'm actually curious what they're going to do with The Mummy, because they're creating that extended Universal Monsters universe, and Tom Cruise is going to be right at the center of it. Kingsman.
How about Jumanji?
No, I'm not really excited about Jumanji. I'm really not.
No?
No, I don't know, man. I just, Kevin Hart in The Rock, I'd rather see Central Intelligence 2 than I would another Jumanji, but it could be good. I mean, I like their chemistry. I think they really got a good chemistry. Kingsman 2, really excited about Kingsman 2. Yeah, I know, Justin, you're going to go with me? I'll fly down to Texas. We'll go together. How about that?
Okay, you fly down here, we'll go together and see it.
You spend $500 to come down here, and sure, we'll go see your stupid movie. And I'm going to make fun of it the whole time.
Damn right. I'm going to have popcorn thrown at your head the whole time.
World War Z Part 2, really curious if that's going to come together.
Spidey Boogaloo?
Yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming, obviously we talked about that. Dunkirk, I'm curious what Christopher Nolan's going to do with the World War II story. And how about the Emoji movie? There's actually a movie.
Jesus.
There's a movie called The Emoji Movie. There's going to be a movie about smiley
Express
faces.
Yourself.
So stupid. Why? How desperate are we, really?
So is the Hitman's bodyguard, is that where they're combining Hitman and the bodyguard?
Yes.
And they're going to cross them over?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm afraid to say Whitney's dead.
You don't think
they they obviously didn't do a great job of bodyguarding.
Wow, Justin. That totally just happened. I don't know what to happen, but I'm sorry for Whitney fans. In case you didn't know, he just spoiled that for you.
Well, she's dead? Yes, mm-hmm. Fans.
She did. She died a lot. Well, now we're going to go and basically end off the show. We're done. We're taking it off.
I did want to say one thing, though.
Oh, I guess we're not doing anything. We're just going to hang out for a little bit.
No, just I got one thing to say.
Okay.
As good as all of these films were, and as much fun as I've had in a theater this summer, there's one property that came out this summer that isn't a film, yet I would watch it in place of damn near every film we've talked about so far.
I know what you're going
to
say.
You just had to find a way to stick that in there too, huh?
Stranger Things is an amazing television show that, because it's not a movie, I guess TV shows don't warrant these kinds of conversations anymore, but it is flat out astonishing how good this film is and how huge it has gotten in the public sphere out there in celebritydom. I mean, I watched a clip of Aaron Paul talking about how nervous he got when he was going to do an interview with the girl that played Eleven. Her name is Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm. Millie.
Interview her for Elle Magazine.
It's Millie Bobby Brown, I think.
Is it Millie? Mm-hmm. Okay, Millie Bobby Brown. He was so nervous that he was going to screw this interview up. And you would think somebody who has been on what is one of the most amazing television shows of all time wouldn't be so starstruck. He was starstruck. But it's not just him. It is everybody is in love with this series. It came out this summer, and I almost feel like if someone said you could only ever watch this or you can only ever watch Suicide Squad again, I would say, Margot Robbie, I love you, but I'm sticking with Stranger Things. And that's all I've got to say. And people, if you have not seen it, see it.
And I
got
to ask you, because you took a while to come around on that one, because I remember talking to you about it. You're like, oh, I'll get to it. I'm like, Justin, this is right up your alley. You're like, oh, I'll get to it. What finally swayed you to, you know what, I'm going to check this show out? Just all the people talking, or?
My brother, he said, I have already watched it twice. You have got to watch it. And I was like, all right, fine, shit, because it's hard to get my brother to watch something, and it is hard to get him to like something. For him to have watched a show twice and love it that much really spoke to his passion for it and spoke to how much passion I might have for it. And if anybody knows my tastes, it's my brother. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that he kind of pushed me to see it, because I think I'm on like my fourth viewing. It's almost at this level comfort viewing. It's just one of those things I can put on, do other things, and I'll occasionally look up and see what's going on and feel comforted by the fact that it's always there kind of in the background playing for me whenever I want.
See, Scott, this is very important. The way that I'm interpreting this is, so Justin hears me saying recommend, and you recommend. And he's just like, yeah, whatever, shut up, bitches. And then his brother says the exact same thing. Wait, what's the show again? Like he didn't even hear us at all.
Well, it's like my wife. I recommend so much stuff to her, but it doesn't mean shit coming from me. But if the exact same movie or TV show is recommended by one of her coworkers, oh, she'll watch it. And I'm like, what am I, chopped liver?
Well, I guess we should mention that real quick. I mean, you talked about Stranger Things. Scott, is there any, in terms of television, was there anything that really stuck out or you ended up watching a lot of besides Stranger Things, which we talked about? The summer?
Not really TV. Stranger Things was the big one. There was a little movie, another Netflix original called Tallulah, that was actually worth checking with Ellen Page and Allison Janney.
Mm-hmm.
That was worth watching. But everything TV that I've been watching this summer has been stuff I've been trying to catch up on. After going to Wizard World, I started watching X-Files, things like that. Just people say I have to watch and I got to go back and get caught up on. So
Yeah, I'm trying to get done with Fringe because I guess it leaves Netflix on September 11th. So I'm really trying to get through all of that. I'm in the third season finally. Woof. It's really cool, man. There's a lot of, my head hurts from a lot of the stuff going on. Also,
isn't the lead actress in that, isn't she amazing?
She is so good. Anna Turner?
Anna Torv.
Yeah, Anna Torv, whatever her name is. She is great. And actually, John Noble, I'm serious, man, got to be one of the best character actors I've seen on a television show ever. Just blows me away with the range of that performance.
Even Joshua Jackson's good.
Yeah, he is. But I tell you, he does pale in comparison to those two. I mean, yeah. they really just kind of mop the floor with him. but still, it's pretty good. And also Hell on Wheels, I already talked about that a lot, but I did enjoy the conclusion of that show. And that's really, in terms of television, I've really kind of pulled back quite a bit, like quite a bit. I just backed up and tried to relax a little bit this summer and see movies. And I should ask before we close out, any honorable mentions to movies that you want to mention that we didn't really talk about, didn't fit in your categories, didn't win, but you do think needs a little mention real quick, Scott?
Not really. Like I said, it was tough going through this list trying to find ones that even fill this category just because I felt it was kind of a lackluster summer. So I don't really have any. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just curious. Justin, anything you want to mention real quick?
I think we hit just about everything that was worth talking about.
I do want to mention Jason Bourne. You know, I did like the movie, but man, in terms of like the previous ones, as much as I liked the movie, I didn't see a need for it to be back. So
are you born to tears?
Oh boy. I don't know even know what that meant. No, but I am born to, I got nothing.
Oh yeah. You know what? I do got one.
What?
War Dogs was actually better than I expected it to be. I had some fun with that one. It wasn't a fantastic movie, but it was worth checking out.
I don't ever want to hear a Miles Teller movie in the best of summer conversation again. Are we clear?
I'm telling you, we need to call him Mild Teller.
I like it. Mild Teller, I think that should definitely be a t-shirt. In fact, I'm going to start tweeting it to him. How's it going, Mild Teller? What you working on, Mild Teller? How's Fantastic
Four? Nothing exciting, Mild Teller.
Oh, I think that's
make paint drying look like Independence Day.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We are going to be off Labor Day week from the podcast. You won't hear a podcast that week. And when we return the following week, we are going to have we'll have a fill-in episode. So you'll still get an episode in the feed, but it won't be a new episode. You'll see. You'll still download it. But the following week, we're going to have basically the fall TV, and we're going to talk about all the TV shows we're excited about, as well as we might have a TV pilot battle royale. Like, what is the best TV pilot of all time?
Mm.
And that could be pretty interesting. So keep an ear out for that coming up. Anything you guys want to say as we head out?
Be sure to also check out my podcast, The Gaming Outsider, where we talk about video games. If you like video games, check it out. Pretty good time over there. We've got a website, thegamingoutsider.com.
Justin?
Yeah, sure. Check out my latest novel, Fragile. It's a horror novel. It's a sequel of sorts to my first horror novel, Stillwater, and I'm pretty proud of it. If you're interested in horror or that kind of thing, go check it out. You can go to my website and purchase it from there. You can go to Amazon, but you can go to justinmccumber.com. Facebook/JustinMcCumber.com, Twitter, JustinMcCumber.com. It all leads to me.
All roads lead to Justin.
All roads lead to me.
Okay. iTunes reviews, please leave them. Join our Facebook group. Like our page. Join our group. Go to Twitter at H_Outsider. Find other episodes, reviews, and other info at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Our email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. And please grab the hoe on the go with our Apple or Android apps. You can find either one. And we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and a bunch of other places, and your podcast app of choice. Thanks, Justin and Scott, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You need to trademark hoe on the go.
I do. Like, get a little ch-ch-ch, and then every time I say it, I got to pay myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that would work. Science. All right, guys, remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn, which apparently they weren't doing this year.